Mara pursed her lips as she thought.
Then we'll just have to keep them busy. I don't think that super laser can be very effective at targeting small moving objects.
I don't like the odds on that, Lando said.
Never quote me the odds, Han said, hunching over the panel and guiding the ship into position.
Who, me? Lando said, raising his eyebrows. I'm a sucker for lost causes. The Millennium Falcon soared into the vanguard of the smuggler's attack formation. Han was impressed to see the assortment of large and small ships fall into a perfect pattern, as if they were trained and regimented. The motley bunch must have a great deal of respect for Mara Jade, he realized. As a rule, smugglers were notoriously independent and took orders from no one. One of the other ships, an Insectal Z-95 headhunter, the type of ship Mara herself often flew, streaked in beside the Falcon. Its pilot spoke over the open channel.
This is Kithra. I'll take the right-hand prong. Shana will take the left. You fly center, Falcon, and we'll hit the Death Star in all three places at once.
Han recognized the no-nonsense voice of another Mistral guard. How many had she brought along with her?
Agreed, Kithra, Mara said.
She turned to look at Han.
Well, Solo, ready to lead the attack?
I never intended to take the Falcon against a Death Star, he groaned, even as he prepared for battle. I was just giving Lando a lift to Kessel.
Think of it as an added bonus, Mara said.
Come on, Han, Lando urged, before that Death Star fires again. Good thing Leia's not here, he muttered. She'd probably succeed in talking me out of this. As the ships converged on the skeletal behemoth, the superlaser struck once more, scorching the fabric of space with emerald fire, but the beam passed through the scattered ships descending upon it, causing no damage. Shields up, Han said, for whatever good it'll do against that. On either side of the Falcon, two segments of the smuggler fleet peeled off like the skin from a Russell snake. One prong, led by Kithra in her headhunter, the other headed by Shana in an angular blockade runner, a clunkier forerunner of the Falcon's light freighter design. The smuggler ships drove in, energy cannons blazing, drawing a deadly tracery of fire across the superstructures and girders of the enormous sphere. Han launched three proton torpedoes into the labyrinth of crossbeams and supports as they charged toward the enormous construction. A few reinforced girders glowed molten as projectiles and energy beams hit.
It's going to take us a year to chop away at this thing, Han said, firing from the Falcon's forward weaponry.
I never claimed this was going to be easy, Mara said.
Tal Sivron's head tails twitched. He squinted his black, beady eyes at the oncoming small ships. They appeared so trivial, their weapons systems so minor.
I can't believe they're attacking us, he said. What do they think they're going to accomplish?
At the tactical station, the stormtrooper captain spoke through his white helmet. If I might point out, Director, this battle station is for proof of concept only. It was never designed to defend itself against multiple small threats. In fact, the Death Star was meant to house over 7,000 TIE fighters, not to mention thousands of surface turbolasers and ion cannons, and an escort of several Imperial-class Star Destroyers. We have none of these. Individually, those rebel ships may be only a minor threat, but together they can harry us for an extended period, and if we are unlucky, cause significant structural damage.
You mean we don't have any fighters of our own? Tal Sivron said with stern disapproval. That was poor planning. Who wrote that section of the procedure? I want to know right now.
Director, the stormtrooper said with a tinge of exasperation in his filtered voice. That doesn't matter at the moment.
It matters to me, Tal Sivron said.
He turned toward demon-faced Yem, who was already scouring the records.
It appears that Dr. Kwai Zooks was responsible for that section, Director, Yem said. She devoted much of her time to the operation and performance of the superlaser, giving short shrift to tactical considerations.
Sivron sighed. I see we found a flaw in our approval system. Such weak spots should never have been allowed to pass through the progress reports and review meetings.
Director, Doxson said, let us not allow this to overshadow the marvelous performance of the Death Star superlaser itself.
Agreed, agreed, Sivron said. We should have a meeting immediately to discuss the implications of...
The stormtrooper captain stood up from his station.
Director, we must establish certain priorities right now. We are under attack.
An outside explosion made the Death Star framework around the control chamber vibrate. "That's three direct hits with proton torpedoes," the stormtrooper said. "So far." As Sivran watched, four Z-95 headhunters swooped out of the superstructure, their rear engines blazing.
"Well, then fire again with our laser," Tal Sivran said. "Maybe we can hit one of them this time."
"The power core is only half charged," Doxson pointed out.
Sivran whirled and parted his lips to show pointed teeth.
"Isn't that good enough to knock out a few little ships?"
Doxson blinked his piggish eyes as if he hadn't considered the possibility.
"Why, yes, sir. Yes, it is. Ready to fire?"
"At your convenience, division leader," Sivran said. Eagerly, Doxson spoke into the intercom, commanding the gunners to fire. After a few seconds, the incredible beam of light seared out. Side lasers converged at a focal point and coalesced into a laser battering ram that plowed through the fringe of the oncoming cluster of fighters, vaporizing one old blockade runner in the vanguard of the left prong. Another ship was damaged by the backwash of the blast, but the attacking forces spread out and disappeared into the superstructure like parasites, firing again.
"Did you see that?" Doxson said with obvious pleasure. "We hit one."
"Hooray," Galanda said sourly from her seat. Her voice carried absolutely no enthusiasm. "Only about 40 more to go, and you can't even fire the super laser again for 15 minutes. "Director, if I may make a suggestion," the stormtrooper captain said. "We have successfully tested the prototype laser, but to stay here any longer would serve no purpose. To endure unnecessary damage to this fine weapon is folly. We should protect the Death Star, so we may present it intact to the Imperial authorities."
"And what do you suggest doing, Captain?"
Tal Sivran said. He dug his long claws into the armrests.
"We should withdraw to the Maw Cluster. I doubt these small ships will follow. We are not highly maneuverable, but we can build up considerable speed. Note that we don't need to go all the way back to the installation, just to the opposite side of the cluster where we can hide."
The captain paused, then said slowly, "Once there, you will have time to hold a lengthy meeting to decide what to do. You can discuss the whole situation by committee if you like."
Tal Sivran brightened. "Good idea, Captain. See to it. Let's head out of here as fast as we can."
The stormtrooper captain set in a new course for the prototype. The huge open framework sphere wheeled about on its axis and accelerated away from Kessel, cumbersome but picking up speed as it left the flurry of other ships behind. After the blaze from the Death Star's third blast faded, Han Solo rubbed sparkles out of his eyes, seeing distorted colors.
"That was too close," he said. "The fringe of the beam fried our forward shields."
Shana's old blockade runner had been destroyed, and some ships now flew off in retreat.
"We have to regroup," Kithra's voice came over the comm system.
"I think we should just get out of here," Han said.
"Look," Lando interrupted as the arching framework of the Death Star spun about and began to accelerate away from Kessel.
"We've got it on the run."
"For now," Mara said, "but it may just be retreating long enough to recharge its power core so it can strike again."
"Kessel won't be safe while that thing is out there," Lando said. "Han, we've got to go in. Let's take the Falcon all the way to the power core."
"Are you crazy, Lando?" Han asked, his voice rising. "This is my ship, remember?"
"I'm not contesting that," Lando said, holding his hands up. "But I've flown her into a Death Star before, remember?"
"I've got a bad feeling about this," Han mumbled, and he shot a sidelong glance at Mara Jade.
"But you're right. We can't just run away. If the prototype falls into the hands of the Imperial Navy, it could cause a lot more misery than I want to be responsible for. Let's go in."
He punched his accelerators. Mara sent orders to her fleet.
"All ships back off. We're going in, alone."
The Falcon cruised through the nightmarish maze of overhanging girders, coolant and ventilation systems, power conduits and substations that formed the inner structure of the Death Star prototype. Catwalks laced the open spaces like so many spider webs. The Falcon shot inward, tunneling deeper and deeper into the construction as the framework grew denser, more complex. Han spun the ship left and right to squeeze through narrow passages. Just ahead, in the middle of a huge open corridor, a mammoth-sized construction crane toppled from its moorings,
dislodged by the smuggler attack and the sudden lurching movement of the prototype. The crane fell, tumbling in silence through the vacuum of space, directly into the path of the Falcon.
"Look out!" Lando cried.
Han punched the firing buttons and sent out a converging blast from his laser cannons, disintegrating the falling machine into an expanding plume of incandescent gas and metal steam. Lando leaned back and closed his eyes with a shuddering sigh. As the Falcon careened through, passengers were bumped and jumped. Large debris struck the deflector shields. Sparks flew out of the control panels, and smoke poured from the engine panels beneath the floor plates.
"We've got damage," Lando yelled.
Han fought for control.
"She'll hold together," he said, as if praying.
Suddenly, the Death Star jerked and slammed forward as its heavy-duty sublight engine fired up. Han tried to match the speed, spiraling closer to the power core. The Falcon lurched, barely responding to Han's attempts to maneuver. They passed gargantuan girders ringing the outer core, tumbling into a vast enclosed space, a spherical chamber that contained the two gleaming conical sections of the power core. Green and blue fire crackled between the contacts as reactors pumped up the energy level, recharging the weapon to fire again.
"Talk about recurring nightmares," Lando said. "I never wanted to see anything like this again in my life."
"I guess we're just lucky," Han said, scanning his damage reports. "We need repairs bad," he said through gritted teeth. "Lousy time for the engines to act up." The Death Star rotated again, changing course and accelerating once more with equatorial propulsion units. Han narrowly avoided an arc-shaped girder that swung across to slam at them. He maneuvered the Falcon around in a tight loop and limped toward the superstructure that held the reactor core in place.
"I need to check on those engines," Han said, "but I can't do anything while the Death Star is moving and rocking like this. We're going to have to settle in for the ride."
"Settle in?" Mara asked in astonishment. "Don't get all bent out of shape. I did this once before to elude Imperial pursuit," he said, flashing a lopsided grin. "A nice little trick built into the Falcon. Added it myself." Han brought the ship up parallel to one of the thick girders. "It's my landing claw. I used it to hang onto the back of a Star Destroyer, then drifted off with the garbage as the fleet entered hyperspace." The Falcon attached itself with a clang. Directly below them, the towering cylinder of the power core blazed into the emptiness, shining its deadly light.
"We're secure here for now," Han said. "But if they plan to go back inside the black hole cluster, we could be in for one wild ride."
33. Riding together in the close confines of the Sun Crusher, Luke felt young Kip Duron draw mentally closer to him as they journeyed toward the black hole cluster. Kip was gradually overcoming his fear and preoccupation with Jedi powers and the potential for abusing them. After his epiphany inside the temple of Exar Kun, Kip had emerged stronger, able to accept the challenge. If he could face this final test, Luke would know that Kip had passed through the fire of his testing, tempered by forces as dire and powerful as those Luke himself had endured. Luke smiled as he recalled how Leia had argued for Kip in the council meeting, fighting for the chance that Luke offered. During her very first session as leader of the New Republic, Leia had presented her brother's demand. In the uproar that followed, she had reasoned, cajoled, or shamed every one of them into giving Luke a chance. She had emerged from the hours-long meeting in the middle of a bright Coruscant day. Kip and Luke, waiting for her in one of the high mezzanine cafes within the enormous Imperial Palace, had sipped warm drinks and sampled delicacies from 100 planets that had sworn allegiance to the New Republic. Leia had brushed aside her 2 bodyguards and hurried forward to meet them as other bureaucrats and minor functionaries stood up from their tables in recognition of their new chief of state. Leia ignored the attention. Her face was haggard and exhausted, but she could not hide her satisfied smile and the twinkle in her large eyes.
"The Sun Crusher is yours to dispose of," she had said. "You better take it before someone on the council decides my victory was too easy and moves to reopen the discussion."
Then Leia had turned a stern face toward Kip.
"I'm gambling my entire future administration on you, Kip."
"I won't let you down,"
Kip had promised, holding his head high. Luke did not need Jedi powers to sense the determination in the young man. They had flown away from Coruscant into hyperspace on a direct course for the Maw Cluster near Kessel. The two of them ate rations and shared a warm silence. When they finished, Kip fell into a deep rejuvenation trance, a form of death-like hibernation that Luke taught all his students.
The young Jedi awoke after only an hour, looking greatly refreshed. En route, Kip had shared fond memories of his home planet, Dire. He spoke in a halting, wistful voice about his brother Zeth. As Luke listened with quiet understanding, Kip let loose his sorrow and wept cleansing tears, finally allowing himself the freedom granted by the vision of his brother's spirit in the Obsidian Temple.
"Yoda made me take a test of my own," Luke told him. "I had to go into a cave in the swamps of Dagobah, where I confronted a vision of Darth Vader. I attacked and defeated him, only to find that I was fighting myself. I failed my test, but you succeeded." Luke looked into Kip's dark eyes. "I don't promise it will be easy, Kip, but the rewards of your efforts will be great, and the entire galaxy will benefit from them." Kip looked away as if embarrassed and studied the piloting controls of the Sun Crusher. "Ready to come out of hyperspace," he said. "You strapped in?" Luke nodded with a slight smile. Around them, hyperspace looked bruised and distorted from their proximity to all the black holes. Kip stared at the chronometer and concentrated as the numbers spun by. 3, 2, 1. He released the levers, and suddenly the blur sprang away from their viewport, and real space snapped into crystal focus around them. Luke saw the distant gaseous knot of the maw, but he instantly felt a wrenching inside as if something was terribly wrong.
"What happened to Kessel?" Kip said.
Luke found the much closer, distorted shape of Kessel, masked by an expanding debris cloud.
"The Garrison Moon," Kip said. "It's gone."
"We've been detected," Luke said. "Ship's coming in." He sensed the anger and dismay from the pilots in the attack ships, now gathering speed and converging on the Sun Crusher. The speaker buzzed with a forceful female voice.
"This is Kitra of the Mistral Guard, representing the Smuggler's Alliance. Identify yourself and state your business in the Kessel system."
"This is Luke Skywalker," he said, restraining a confident smile. "We're here on business for the New Republic. Our mission is to destroy the Sun Crusher, and we had hoped to hitch a ride back to Coruscant with one of your ships. Mara Jade cleared us by subspace transmission only yesterday."
"Commander Jade is not here now," Kithra said. "But she did notify me you would be coming. As you can see, though, we have recently been under attack."
"Tell me your situation," Luke said. "Where's Mara? Is she okay? What about Han Solo?"
Kip let his eyes fall half-closed, reaching out with the Force, searching.